The unemployment rate holds steady with 321,000 new jobs. From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Labor Department released its jobs report this morning for the month of November. And the headline number is a big one, the biggest gain we've seen since January 2012. The unemployment rate stayed the same at 5.8%. We also learned the government revised the jobs numbers for September and October, revised them upward by 44,000. Chris Lowe has been going through today's employment report. He's the chief economist at FTN Financial, and he joins us now. Hi, Chris.
Hi, David.
So let's take apart this headline number, and I don't need to remind everyone that the holiday season is upon us. To what extent was hiring in retail driving these numbers?
It was a big factor. There were 50,000 new retail jobs added this month. This was an anticipation of Black Friday. So we'll have to see what happens to retail in December.
There were other big gains in business services. Maybe you can tell us what that is and why those gains are important.
There were 86,000 jobs added in business services. This is a huge category. There's mining services in here. In manufacturing, payroll is done by business service hires. So it's an indication of a broad-based strengthening of the economy. So definitely good news there.
We pay a lot of attention to that headline number, to the unemployment rate, and then there's a whole lot of other stuff in this report. One of them is the average work week. I noticed that was 34.6 hours in November. That's the highest it's been since May 2008.
When it starts to creep up like this, what it suggests is it's a little bit harder for companies to find people, and they're making their existing workers work a little bit longer. It's another sign of slack coming out of the job market. And, you know, it ties into another indicator in this report, which is average hourly earnings. They rose 0.4. We'd love to see a little bit of wage pressure to start driving inflation back up towards the Fed's target of 2%.
You mentioned the Fed. They're going to be paying close attention to that number.
The Fed will be paying close attention to this number, and that's what has sparked at least the initial reaction in the markets in anticipation that the Fed might tighten a little sooner than we expected, maybe March next year instead of June.
Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Chris, thanks as always.
You're welcome, David. Thank you.
Now time for the Marketplace Inflation Calculator. In honor of Marketplace's 25th anniversary, we're looking at some of the surprising ways prices have changed over the last quarter century. A little inflation can be good for an economy. A lot can be dire. So what happens when the price of retail goods goes up faster than inflation? Marketplace's Sally Herships reports on what's happened to the price of Chanel bags over the last two and a half decades.
I'm on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, just a few blocks away from the Chanel boutique, in a very elegant apartment.
So you're going to want me to say my name is Jean Shafiroff and I live in New York City?
Yes. Shafiroff is pouring us some Perrier. She's a philanthropist and hosts a lot of fancy fundraising events. She bought her first Chanel bag, the classic one with the quilted flap and the leather and metal chain in the 80s. She still carries it.
It's more chic now than it was then because it's vintage.
But there's nothing vintage about the price. In the mid-80s, a classic Chanel bag was under $1,000. Adjusted for inflation, the price today should be about double. But a similar purse now costs north of $4,000, way past the rate of inflation. The cost of labor is up, not to mention leather. Then there's the euro versus the dollar. But there's another big reason. Too many rich people. Paul Sonand is an analyst with Morningstar. He says in emerging markets like Asia,
those consumers want Western goods. They want cognac. They want LVMH bags. They want Swiss watches.
And they want Chanel purses. But they don't want everybody else to have them, too. Either does Chanel. So it keeps raising prices. Think of it as an exclusivity tax. Chanel isn't the only brand to have taken this approach. There's Ferrari, even Nike. Burberry famously raised its prices after its trademarked plaid started becoming too popular. Thamayi Sirdari teaches marketing at NYU Stern School of Business. She's an expert on luxury goods. She's tracked the price of Chanel bags going back decades. We stopped by the company's Madison Avenue boutique to check them out.
Everything is like on a little pedestal.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a little altar.
Yes, they're really displayed the way objects would be displayed in a museum.
A museum I didn't feel very comfortable in.
Let's go outside. I'm getting freaked out.
Okay. Thank you. You too. Thanks.
It is intimidating. That's what it is. It is done on purpose. It should intimidate you. You shouldn't feel like anybody can participate in that world.
Jean Shafiroff has an MBA. She says from a business point of view, she can appreciate the exclusivity strategy, I guess.
And making it less accessible, and I think that's a very smart business technique.
But from a personal point of view, Shafiroff says she doesn't have plans to buy a new Chanel bag anytime soon. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Finally, James Watson took home the Nobel Prize for Physiology or Medicine in 1962. He shared that honor with the late Francis Crick for pioneering work they did on DNA. Well, yesterday, James Watson sold his gold Nobel medal at auction. An anonymous bidder paid almost $5 million for it. Watson, who says he'll donate most of the money, says he's happy enough with a brass replica of the Nobel medal he keeps in his trophy case at home. In Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.